Joining us on the line from Israel, Rolene Marks, a very good morning to you.
All I can say, guys, apart from good morning, is Howard 16, wherever you are, I will be singing to you at some stage today. You might want to run for cover.
Yeah, I hear that. I do hear that. All right, a big news day, big news, a lot coming out of Israel this week. There's the peace plan, of course. There's Trump's peace plan. There's the updates from the Jerusalem Forum. We've seen Saudis in paying a visit to Auschwitz. I'm not even sure where to start. Let's start with the commemoration of the Holocaust, because that now is, of course, taking place in Jerusalem, but very powerful images coming out of Poland.
Well, wasn't it just simply extraordinary? Apart from the morning mayhem, which was the drive into Jerusalem for many people this week because of tough security. I know that the police and security services added at least 10,000 more personnel to help secure the city. And just driving every day from Tel Aviv back to Modi'in on the Ayalon, going past the airport, there was such a heavy presence of security as Israel welcomed, I think, over 50 delegations from around the world, including royalty, including presidents, including the highest level delegations. This is the biggest diplomatic event that the state of Israel has ever seen. It's even bigger than the funerals of Yitzhak Rabin and Shimon Peres. We welcomed Prince Charles, which I think for many of us here in Israel was a real highlight. And not because everybody's been listening to us talk about Mexit, Howard, but because last year we had Prince William here. The people came out in the street in their throngs to see Prince William and to see Prince Charles arrive, who spoke magnificently at Yad Vashem yesterday, warning about the importance of words, but also paying tribute to his late grandmother, Princess Alice, who was a righteous amongst the nation, to see him visit President Rivlin and the images of him meeting with survivors and planting trees, all the visuals, all the optics that are very, very special and very personal to the Jewish people, to Israelis, but to Jews around the world. Of course, we've had some controversy. We had President Macron in Jerusalem just 2 days ago shouting at the Israeli police who entered a French church before he did. And he eventually apologized, saying, you know, he understands that it's very sensitive with security and all of that. Putin, who some are saying was the star of speeches yesterday, but also very touching was President Zelensky from the Ukraine having a horrendous record in their role that they played during the Shoah, during the Holocaust, and President Zelensky saying that there doesn't seem to be enough of a survivor presence and giving up the seating for his delegation for survivors to sit, to be present. Also very, very moving to hear from somebody who I think is a national treasure, not just to Israel, but to Jewish people, and that is Rav Lau. Rabbi Lau, the youngest child survivor of Buchenwald, also former Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Israel, he's now the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, but speaking of his experience and saying very, very importantly, Auschwitz was not a concentration camp. Auschwitz was a death camp. Very important power of words.
Yeah, he was incredibly incredibly moving, was Rabbi Lau. And then there was even that controversy around whether Charles snubbed Mike Pence, but he didn't really, because they had in fact spoken extensively outside. So I don't know if people are really looking to politicize something that actually shouldn't be about politics at all, but really should be about human tragedy.
Absolutely. And one of the criticisms that we are noticing is the politicizing of yesterday's event. There have been appalling op-eds in Haaretz, one saying that they don't want to get involved in the laundromat that is this commemoration, forgetting, of course, what it's all about. Yesterday wasn't about not acknowledging other tragedies around the world, but yesterday was specifically about the 75th anniversary of the liberation of
you know, I think we need to stop that. We need to stop saying, well, you know, we need to be afraid to talk about a tragedy. This is a tragedy. This is a horror. This is a Holocaust. And we can talk about it. Not every occasion needs to be an equal opportunity occasion. We don't have to talk about all other, tragedies when we're focusing on one. I think it's an illness to have to do that. You know, we've seen it in America and the United States where they were trying to address anti-Semitism, and the Democrats watered it down to such an extent that it just became about, well, you shouldn't be prejudicial towards anybody. And of course that's true, but then you're not addressing a real issue.
Well, Howard, I couldn't have put it better there than you just have. And I echo Prince Charles's very important words when he said that the Holocaust was a massive tragedy for the Jewish people, but it was also a massive human tragedy. We haven't learned from the lessons of the Holocaust. Prince Charles didn't say this, but I'm saying this, which is why today discussion about it and discussion about the fact that Jews from birth to the elderly were marked for death. This is what sets the Jewish tragedy apart from others. And I'm not downplaying any other tragedy, but this is why the Holocaust is so massive in its size and magnitude. And this is why the conversation around it has to happen. Recent polls taken in the United States show that 2/3 of Americans have never heard of Auschwitz and didn't know that Jews were killed during the Holocaust. This is basic education that we as Jews take for granted, but it's so important to have these conversations. And then, of course, we have the massive political debacle that is Poland and Lithuania. President Duda of Poland pulling out because of a spat with the Russians, because the Russians were not giving favorable narrative to Poland's role in World War II. Excuse me, but this was about something very, very specific that took place in Poland. Auschwitz is the largest death camp and cemetery for the Jewish people in Poland. Another culprit, Lithuania. Today there will be massive protests outside the Lithuanian embassy in Tel Aviv. The Lithuanians want to pass legislation that abdicates them of all responsibility for their role in the Holocaust. This is profoundly offensive and hurtful to South Africans. Many of us who have Litvak roots, whose families come from Lithuania, whose families, many of whom were wiped out during the Shoah because of the role of Lithuanians, and the president yesterday pulling out of this very, very important event, which I'm really hoping won't just end with magnificent speeches and tributes, mm-hmm. but will also result in something tachlis when these leaders return to the countries that they come from and do something very, very concrete to fight anti-Semitism.
Well, the interesting thing was Rabbi Lau saying, you have such power in your hands, such immense power. Go back to your countries and just spread love. You know, make that your legacy is effectively what he was saying, which is incredible.
And it's extraordinary to hear from Holocaust survivors who have every right to be angry, bitter. Who have every right and every right to be bitter. And the common thread that runs through the narrative of Holocaust survivors is treat each other with humanity. Treat each other with respect. Remember the power of words. It's very important that we remember Auschwitz was not built on gas chambers. It was built on words. It was built on political decisions. It was built on looking at the other as different, as less than. And, you know, if we haven't learned the lessons by now, you know, I worry for the future of humanity.
Well, something that was inspiring was this Saudi and Muslim delegation to Auschwitz that took place yesterday.
Well, I have to say, when I read this, I had tears. And when I saw the images, I had tears. First of all, did we ever think we would hear the words Saudi religious delegation visits Auschwitz? And these were religious leaders, not just from Saudi, but Muslim leaders from America, from around the world as well, who joined survivors. It was described as the most senior Islamic leadership delegation to visit the site of of a Nazi German death camp. And delegation visited, we had the Secretary General of the Muslim World League, Mohammed bin Abdul Karim Al-Issa, who is Saudi himself, in Auschwitz. He comes from Mecca, one of the holy cities of Islam, with a delegation of 62 Muslims, including 25 of the most prominent leaders. And I'm holding back tears as I say this, from 28 countries who got on their knees, who put their heads on the ground and prayed for the souls of those who lost, who were murdered. And Al-Issa is quoted as saying, "To be here among the children of Holocaust survivors and members of the Jewish and Islamic communities is both a sacred duty and a profound honor. The unconscionable crimes to which we bear witness today are truly crimes against humanity, that is to say, a violation of us all, an affront to all of God's children." And the images of these religious leaders praying for the souls of Jews who perished is absolutely unforgettable.
Incredible. Really, really was very moving, as you said, to see that. We don't have a lot of time, but can we just talk about Trump's peace plan? Because first of all, the timing is crazy. Israel in the middle of heading towards an election. You've got the debate around immunity for Netanyahu, the impeachment trial process taking place in the United States. Is now the time to release a peace plan?
It's going to be huge. In fact, this is going to be huge if it's everything that is being leaked out to the media. So while we don't know the exact details, what we do know so far is that Prime Minister Netanyahu and the leader of Kahol Levan, the blue and white, Benny Gantz, will be leaving early next week. They'll be headed to Washington
I just want to stop you there. I was thinking earlier, and I said it to mention it to our listeners, I think it's very significant that Benny Gantz is part of this. Is that an indication?
Absolutely.
Is that a signal that this is Israel's next prime minister?
This is what a lot of us are reading into that. This is a lot of us reading that should he be Israel's next prime minister, he has the endorsement of the Americans. I know he has met with the delegation that came out. A lot of the delegations who came out for the Jerusalem Forum met with Netanyahu and they met with Benny Gantz. I think they've seen his performance in the last elections. I think there is a global concern and almost a reality checking that we could see the end of Prime Minister Netanyahu's tenure as Prime Minister. And, you know, very interesting to see the language coming from the two men. We had Prime Minister Netanyahu earlier this week speaking about annexing the Jordan, and this was something that was endorsed and almost echoed by Benny Gantz. Very, very interesting to see this kind of rhetoric. I mean, we were just complaining last week, Howard, how boring these elections are getting. Now it looks like the race is on, but it seems to be conducted in a more statesmanship like manner in terms of how world leaders are viewing this race. Apparently, and these are the leaks coming out to the press, is that the Americans might endorse full Israeli sovereignty over Jerusalem and settlements, and have also said that there could be small land swaps and the Palestinians, if they don't accept this peace plan, that they will see a lot more to lose. So it looks like the Palestinians here are really on the back foot, but if they do want to have their state, they're not going to get the state that they are hoping for from the Americans.
Will be very, very interesting to see. Rolene Marks, unfortunately, we are out of time. It is 8 o'clock. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, a fantastic, peaceful, happy weekend, and we will speak to you next week. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM.